Thank you for having me here. I think one of the things that's most amazing about this is what an amazing time for tobacco control. You've got three evidence-based public education campaigns in the market at the same time, all with the goal of achieving significant reductions in tobacco use. So I think the time's kind of historic. So hopefully you'll get a sense of what the three campaigns are doing and how we are intersecting and weaving together in a very, hopefully, compelling way. So the real cost is FDA's first tobacco prevention effort. And one of the things we looked at when we decided to do the segmentation strategy that we did is really our goal is the pursuit of impact. We want to dynamically change the number of kids who will ever use tobacco in this world. And we had to ask ourselves a question, can public education change the world? And I think I'm a true believer in that. I think probably my colleagues to my right would also be believers in that. And hopefully at the end of the three presentations, you'll have a sense of how advertising really can affect attitudinal and behavioral change. So one of the things FDA is trying to do with our public education efforts is really, to us, tackling one of the most pervasive public health issues of our day, despite literally decades of amazing work that's happened at the state and local level. Why do more than 2,600 teens continue to try their first cigarette each day, and nearly 600 become daily smokers? Those are numbers that still seem somewhat shocking after amazing decades worth of our work. And so we really try to set out to understand what is the mindset behind that and why are we still losing kids to tobacco. So we set out to prevent the preventable. We did a deep segmentation strategy, and of the existing 25 million 12 to 17-year-olds out in the U.S. today, we did an estimation that there's roughly 10 million at risk for tobacco use. That's 40% of American teens. And these are kids who are basically either so at risk that they're one party away from picking up their first cigarette or currently already experimenting with tobacco products. So the goal of our efforts are to prevent initiation, to really try to create an opportunity for teens through the persuasive advertising to hit the pause button and really rethink their relationship with tobacco before they ever take their first puff. Or if they're currently experimenting, our goal is an urgent plea to have them not become one of the daily addicted smokers that start smoking 600 of them every day. So we have five sustainable campaigns that are in development. The real cost has been in market for roughly 18 months. We just launched our second effort called Fresh Empire last month at the BET Awards. And then we've got two additional campaigns coming out this spring, one targeting rural young men, specific to smokeless prevention, and as well as a campaign targeting young adults who identify as LGBT to prevent tobacco use. So the real cost is just one of the five that we'll have in the marketplace. So everything we do as FDA is steeped in research, and we have followed the evidence base. We did comprehensive research to understand what was currently being said in the marketplace based on the existing extensive evidence base. We did literature reviews. We conducted early strategic research among salient themes. We talked to a lot of tobacco control experts who have been working in this field for so long in the message development phase. Then we did a whole bunch of creative work and turned concepts into research, both focus groups as well as quantitative research. And then we talked to tobacco control experts again. And then finally, once we produced the work that had the most, that showed the most potential and the highest promise to affect attitudinal behavioral change, we did quantitative copy testing to ensure that we got the message right, it was relevant, it was believable, and it was actionable. And this is the process we follow for all of our campaigns. So there's literally three in-depth research phases for each campaign that comes into market. So a picture started to emerge in the message development phase about who were the kids that were most likely to be using tobacco products. And when I worked initially on the very first Truth campaign, the picture of kids in the late 1990s and the early 2000s that were most at risk for tobacco use were really the more popular kids, the ones that others aspired to look up to be like. But what has emerged today is a very different picture of the youth who is most at risk for tobacco use. You know, we know that in public health that the social norm is no longer smoking, but for these kids, they are absolutely surrounded by smokers, so it is their norm. They come from smoking households, their friends and peers all smoke, and so to them, smoking is normalized, and they see it on a daily basis. And this youth is also incredibly stressed out. They're dealing with tremendous societal pressures both at home and school, and because of that, they tend to have very poor coping skills, and so they're turning to tobacco and other risky behaviors like drinking and drugs to help them self-medicate or to help them cope. Oftentimes, these at-risk teens are coming from lower socioeconomic levels, and they're not academically driven because they're not necessarily enabled to go to the type of schools that you would want your kids to be in. And that, therefore, they're really not involved in a lot of extracurricular activities. So really, these kids tend to be more marginalized than we've seen in past tobacco control efforts. And so that made us feel like our job was even harder because we had significant barriers to overcome. First of all, these teens simply do not believe that they're smokers. They don't consider themselves smokers. They'll say things like, I just had a few, but I'm not a smoker, or, you know, I'm a smoker, but I'm not going to get addicted, or even if I get addicted, I can quit at any time. But really, what happens is that they don't understand how quickly addiction can occur, and they don't understand its impact, because even if they believe that they can stop smoking, we know that the facts say that they can't. So they're also very hard to engage. Tobacco education is incredibly low interest for them. I mean, they really are dealing with some significant societal issues. And so smoking just adds, you know, basically crap to the crap, as we heard in one of the focus groups. And they're also very hard to motivate. So these are teens that have kind of been left behind, and they haven't really been helped with other efforts in the past, at least from what we found. So the barriers are pretty high, but we had to believe that we could find a way to break through. And so one of the things we did in working with Annenberg School of Communication at University of Pennsylvania, they had a really phenomenal research study that allowed us to look at both rational and emotional messages based on experimentation status. And what we found is that through their research is that there are emotional messages that showed youth's intention to smoke is reduced when they understand that tobacco leads to the loss of control and independence. And we also found rational message themes that youth's intention to smoke is reduced when exposed to messages about dangerous chemicals in each cigarette and some of the cosmetic physical effects. So we use this benchmark research in the development of all of our message platforms. And let me explain what I mean by that. So one of the beliefs that showed the most promising area that if you could get kids to believe this, it would shift them from open to smoking to closed to smoking. So one of them is, if I smoke, I'll be controlled by smoking. Or said another way, if I smoke, I will not show my independence and I will not be making my own decisions. And we knew that both of those were very important because based on our research, because these kids' lives are somewhat very stressed and they feel out of control, having control over one element of their life is something that is inherently really important to them. So we felt if we could leverage those insights through the creative advertising, we might help them to hit a pause and to rethink the relationship with tobacco. Additionally, we have some additional themes that we believe will be very promising. So if I smoke, I will get wrinkles, yellow fingers, uneven skin coloring. Or if I smoke, I will inhale chemicals. And you'll notice that we're not focused in on any of the more long-term health, serious health consequences. And that's for very definitive reasons. One, remember, our kids don't believe that they're smokers. They don't identify with smokers, and they don't believe that they will ever be smoking long enough to get cancer or COPD or have a stroke. And so we felt like we needed to focus more in on some of the things that kids really do care about in the shorter term. So we took a lot of campaigns into research. We had many that rose to the top. We performed, we actually produced the work and then sent it into copy testing among, I believe, 1,600 kids. And we are testing our evaluation based on something called a perceived out-effectiveness score. And that is anything scoring above the midpoint of a 3 on perceived out-effectiveness helped us to believe that we had the potential to create positive changes in attitudes and behaviors. So 3 was the midpoint, and I'm really happy to say that through the quantitative copy testing, all of the work that we took into production scored well above a 3, giving us, FDA, the belief that if we put these test campaigns into market, they would actually create behavioral change. The ads also performed very well on other measures, including the absolute majority who viewed the ads trusted the information, they really believed in it, they could identify with the ads, they thought they were worth remembering, and they found the ads to also be very engaging. And the overwhelming majority of youth who view the ads through their own insights could give back to us what the exact message of the ads were. So it helped us to understand that it was really breaking through some of the barriers and that they were hearing and potentially, hopefully, adapting the message. And we did not see any potential unintended consequences in the ads. So from a strategic standpoint, our goal is to reduce the number of youth smokers. And to do that, we're hoping to make teens hyper-conscious of the real cost of each and every cigarette with what we believe is breakthrough, very fresh portrayals of the health and addiction risks of tobacco use. So we're finding new ways to talk about the health consequences that's really delivering new news and packaging it in a way that breaks through their barriers. We're also disrupting their beliefs about addiction by stressing loss of control. And we're challenging their assumptions about the toxicity of cigarettes by sharing new facts. So really, each of our message platforms that tie back to not only our qualitative research, but the quantitative research that we got from Annenberg School of Communication, we're dramatically bringing home the point that cigarettes have a significant cost to your body, a significant cost to your mind, and that there's a cost of smoking even just one cigarette. So with that, I want to share a five-minute creative reel. So I mentioned that we've been in the market for 18 months. So we've had four new rounds of creative because we're running at such high reach and frequencies that we don't want the ads to get stale. And we want to keep the interest high.
Serious gum disease that makes you more likely to lose them. What are menthols costing you?
Amen. Do you smoke? Nah, I don't do that anymore. Because if you just cigarette smoke, it's a toxic mix of where it's 7,000 chemicals. No, that's because I can only fit one thing in the pocket of my skinny jeans. Share yours.
Do you want to smoke?
No, I don't think so. I can't separate my index finger from my middle finger, so use your other hand.
I'm not bringing a death maggot.
In the toxic mix of over 7,000 chemicals, any reason is a brilliant reason not to smoke. Share yours.
Do it all over again, I never would have started smoking in the first place. The cost is just too high.
Look at the lines around my mouth and eyes. And my teeth. Check out these yellow nails. I have never smoked. And after seeing that, now I never will.
I like to feel everything that I'm feeling from the right place and not because it's being induced by something that isn't real. This is what you exist for. Make it great.
So those are just some of the examples of the work we have in market. Hopefully you get a sense that we're really approaching the tone in different ways. So in some cases, where appropriate, we're using humor. Some places, we're using distress. Some places, we're using regret. And we're using a mix of opportunity when it comes to trying to really capture attention in hopefully what we have found to be very disarming ways. So another key component is, as I mentioned, the dosage levels. So for the first 2 years of the campaign, we've been running roughly $85 million in market for 12 months consecutively, and we're gearing up to do the same thing for year three. And that is based on really the notion of being where teens want to be. So we have a comprehensive media plan, both online and offline, developed around teens' media passion points of music, snarky comedy, extreme sports, fashion, and also gaming. And we found that the media placement alone has helped us to achieve incredibly high reach and frequency goals. So just a quick look at measuring effectiveness. We know through our media tracking and through our evaluation study that we're reaching over 90% of teens more than 20 times per quarter, exceeding our goal of 75% reach, which was what the literature said you have to do effectively over time in order to create behavior change in just 3 years. Importantly, our engagement at the website has been phenomenal. We've attracted over 9 million unique visitors from all 50 states to the website. And once they get to the website, they're actually spending time learning more. And remember, I mentioned that this is a really low interest category. So the fact that we're driving so much traffic to the website is phenomenal. But I think the thing that makes me most excited is that we've had over 2 million conversations, unique conversations in our social media platforms. And it is proving to us that we're really allowing kids to rethink their relationship with tobacco. So the types of messages that we get on social media, sometimes they challenge us. They don't know that they can believe the facts. And so we get into an engagement with them about why they should believe the facts by just giving it to them straight and allowing them to make their own decisions about whether it's true that each cigarette comes with a toxic mix of 7,000 chemicals. But some of the examples of what we hear is that I always thought smoking was foul and kills people, but now the difference is I understand how. or I've been struggling to breathe and it's been happening for a while. I try to stop, but it's a really hard addiction to get over. So you might notice that we have not had a call to action about cessation in our advertising because we did not think that kids would be open to hearing it. But many, many kids are coming to us asking for help in quitting. So it says that there is a market and we are creating an opportunity for kids to understand and realize that they actually are addicted. So our goals are, I think, aspirational, but based on what we're seeing, we believe it's very achievable. We also have a comprehensive evaluation program, which I can ask, and that's my time, and skip my last. Sorry, I'm going to self-destruct in 10 seconds. So I can answer questions about our evaluation program, but we've got four waves. We've just completed, I believe, baseline follow-up one and follow-up two, and we're measuring campaign awareness, the receptivity to messages, knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, and how those are shifting over time, and ultimately behaviors. So can we believe that public education can change the world? I would suggest that campaigns that done right can absolutely change minds, transform behaviors, and save lives, which is ultimately the goal. And thank you so much. Appreciate it.